The Lord be with you.
And with
you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When Jesus began his ministry, he was about 30 years of age. He was the son, as was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathit, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Mattathias, the son of Semain, the son of Josech, the son of Joda, the son of Jonin, the son of Resa, the son of Jerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meleah, the son of Mena, the son of Matatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salah, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Admin, the son of Arni, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. The Gospel of the Lord. So tomorrow at this time, if you can give me all those names in order and pronounce them properly, I'll give you $10. So study and try to pronounce them properly. It's a difficult gospel to preach on, but I'll give you a couple ideas. But I'd like to go through the first reading first. It says that Jesus came in water and blood. Look up. Divine mercy. What do you see there? Hello? You see there's water. Then also there's blood. Could that have been a prophecy of divine mercy? I think so. He said 2,000 years ago, right? But the Bible also is prophetic. Okay, the water, the pale rays symbolize water. And if you read the diary, St. Faustine is symbolic of two sacraments, which would be the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of confession. What do we celebrate next Monday? Any of you know? Okay. Sunday is Epiphany. Then we celebrate the baptism of Christ. Then we enter into what is called ordinary time. Up until my birthday that I don't really celebrate this year, but more or less my birthday, March 1st. And that is Ash Wednesday. So look up at that. Water and blood. And the blood symbolizes another sacrament, which would be the greatest sacrament, which would be, of course, the Eucharist. So Jesus is speaking about, St. John is speaking about Jesus came in water and blood. Really what he's saying also is Jesus had two natures. He had the divine nature, which always existed, and the human nature, which came in time, which he had water and blood. And who gave us the human nature? It was the Blessed Mother. Mary gave Christ the human nature. So we want to thank Mary for her yes, for giving us his human nature. Responsorial Psalm begins with, "Praise the Lord, Jerusalem." How can we praise God best? We can praise God with psalms, but especially we praise God by the Mass. The Mass is the greatest form of praise that we can do. So let's really try to praise God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen? Let's try to avoid yawning, becoming distracted, not focusing. Let's try to really focus on the rest of the Mass. You can think about, you know, McDonald's and your hamburgers or your pancakes you're going to have afterward. Let's leave that aside. You can eat. You're not going to die of hunger, okay? I promise you, okay? I don't see anyone here that looks like they're going to be dying of hunger. No? So let's really try to praise God fully, totally, unreservedly in this Mass. Let's try to live this Mass as if it were our last. Amen? Okay, the Gospel today that we're going to try to memorize in the next 24 hours to get your $10, right? Called the genealogy of Christ. You've got the genealogy of Matthew and the genealogy of Luke. Luke goes all the way back to Adam. A lot of names here. Okay, what about your name? Is your name important? Tomorrow I'm going to be baptizing some babies. And there's a huge error that has come over the modern world, the past generation, which the parents are giving their kids really weird names. And I say weird. You know what the word weird means? Nombres raros, rarísimos. And they think it's poetic, they think it's cute. I think it's dumb. And it's against the catechism of the Catholic Church. No, it's against, it's disobedient. They don't know it. In other words, when you have a child, you should not try to give the child a weird name. To give the child a Christian name. That's the catechism of the Catholic Church. So next time you have a child, or your grand, or your daughter or son has a child, try to choose a good Catholic name and not a weird name. My parents had a lot of faults, but I think in the names of their kids, I would give them an A+. Listen, Michael Joseph. I think that's about the best you can do. Or maybe Joseph Michael would be better. Okay? Thomas Peter. Not bad. Thomas Peter. Christopher James. And my parents had boy, boy, boy. And finally they had a girl. They named her Victoria Ann. Okay? Victoria. Okay? A Lady of Victories, right? Ann, the grandmother. James Patrick, not bad. And Mary Therese, not bad. Not only a name, but two really classical, traditional Catholic names. So I think we have to go back to basics, and let's really try to appreciate our name. A good Catholic name where you got saints. Otherwise, you choose, you know, when a telenovela name that really doesn't exist, or an exotic name of a flower on the top of a mountain in Africa, it's really not a name, not a Christian name. So let's go back to basics. Names are important. Names are important. And then when your son or daughter is going to be confirmed, you have an opportunity to redeem yourself if your parents made a mistake in giving you the wrong name, okay? You can redeem yourself, okay? Try to really get a good Catholic Christian name. Otherwise, you're walking around without a patron saint. So you're depriving your son or daughter of certain graces that they have a right to. Certain graces that they have a right to. So that's my preaching on the genealogy. Okay, it's tough to give a homily on that, but that would be my preaching on this gospel. Okay, another word before we move into the second part of the Mass. Today we celebrate a great saint. This week we celebrate the American saints. Okay? You know, we've got the Mexican saints, but we have the American saints. Who did we celebrate 2 days ago? Any of you have a good memory? St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, okay? The first American born saint, born where I was brought up and raised. She's a New Yorker from New York. Any of you from New York here? Can you speak with a New York accent? Okay. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And then yesterday, who did we celebrate? Any of you go to Mass yesterday? St. John Neumann. And today we celebrate an American saint, a Canadian saint. His name is St. André Bessette. And he's famous especially for his great love of who? Of St. Joseph. He's one of the greatest saints. They promoted devotion to St. Joseph. He said, I'm just a little perito de San Jose. I'm just a little puppy dog of St. Joseph. I run his errands. Basically, this saint, he failed everything in life. Everything he tried to do, he failed. He entered into the Congregation of the Holy Cross Fathers. He got sick and he's about to leave. And the bishop said, well, just keep him. What happened was he became the doorkeeper of that convent there for 40 years. He always had fragile health, but he lived into his 90s anyway. And what he would do was this. He would say to the people, go to St. Joseph. and they were healed. So because of his prayer, because of his devotion, many, 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 many people were healed. He would say, just go to St. Joseph. And he would anoint some of them with this oil in honor of St. Joseph. They would be healed. But I'd like to tell you just one story. Near where he lived, in the convent of the Holy Cross in Montreal, there was a field of land that the brothers and fathers are trying to purchase, but the owners would not give it up. So what did he do? He took... what? He took an image of St. Joseph and he buried it there in the field and he prayed, and right away the owners changed their mind and they were willing to sell the plot of the land for not too high a price. So that land, over that land, guess what we have today? Hello? We have the most famous oratory to St. Joseph that took about 40 years to build. And I was there with my parents a few years ago. And there, we have the most glorious oratory of St. Joseph in the world. And below, in the crypt, we have the body of this great saint. So next time you go to Canada, if you're going to be going next week, okay, make sure you visit Montreal. And I think the most beautiful part is below. The upper church, I don't think is too attractive, but below, you have the crypt, which have a lot of plaques in honor of what are called the Litany of St. Joseph. And the one I like best is the Terror of Demons. You see, this man that's surrounded by a lot of devils, and St. Joseph is coming, you see the demons, ah! Ah! So when tempted by demons, we should call upon the holy name of Jesus. Call upon Mary, who crushes the head. But call upon the holy name of Saint Joseph, and call upon the holy name of Saint Andres Bessette. Amen.